clear, and then he's going to stay for the next two appointments. So, okay. Go ahead, Chair.
Just a, you know, update on the Polaris Ranger event, which went really well, very well attended. We'll know the final count tomorrow as far as numbers, but okay. I'm thinking we were pushing 2,000 people. So awesome. From Sublette County, fantastic.
Any incidences to speak of?
No, it was very
beautiful,
very calm. Yep. Yeah, no fender benders in parking lots. Everybody
beautiful.
Behaved themselves. I think everybody had a really good time.
Good. So. I've heard good reports. So.
Yeah. No, he did a really good job. His set, I think, was, yep.
Excellent.
Yep, really good. So
good.
Yeah, other than that,
that's about it for you.
That's it. Yeah, our jail's full. We're at 31.
Business is booming.
Well, so the penitentiary is full too, and so we're getting back up from them. So we'll have four, I believe, that we'll go over Thursday. But just we're on a waiting list with everybody else in the state.
Okay.
So they're out of room.
Oh, wow. So yeah. What do we get? Do we get reimbursed for our costs?
Yes, so if they are here the more than 10 days, then the state reimburses us for housing and meals and everything else.
So most of them are gone in 9 days?
Yes. Yeah. That's how it worked prior.
Yeah.
So, but no, like our, we had, I think we have seven, and we're looking at 80-day window before they'll even, you know, take the first one. So.
Mm. My goodness. Ooh, business is good.
Yeah.
Depends on
I don't know.
That,
yeah. Right. I don't know if that is good or bad.
That's just like my business. When business is good for me, it's not so good for somebody else.
Right.
Right.
I think they're planning on sending 88 down to Mississippi.
Are they really?
From the state?
Yeah.
They have to shut down part of the penitentiary or something?
So they did. So Rollins is in some... seeing some hard times, just walls are starting to fall in. Yeah, they're really, yep, I don't know what the state's going to do. You know, Laramie's full, Torrington. Torrington's full, and Rollins is, they're having to remove inmates just because of, for safety reasons.
Wow.
Jeez. So,
but I had not heard that.
I just heard it last week. They've got 88 going to, I don't remember the parish in Mississippi, but it's a private correctional facility.
All right.
And most of those are those with long-term sentences.
Right.
Well, gotcha.
Was any of this addressed at the legislature about?
It was, they were there, everybody's aware of it.
Okay.
But I don't know of anything that's been done to.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for a couple of years.
Right.
No funding committed yet.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Anything else for the sheriff, gentlemen? Chad, come on up, and if you want to just hang out there,
yes,
Sheriff, you
yes.
sure can. You don't even have to move if you don't want to.
Is that written?
Warm the seat up.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Chad.
Want to give us an update on yesterday's excitement?
Yeah, that's in next month's report, but yeah.
We don't want to wait.
Yeah.
We want to know.
News before it happens.
So if it had been up to me, I wouldn't have chosen yesterday to be out there fighting fire.
Cow. Wow.
Yeah, so we had two fires yesterday afternoon. I responded to the one on the murder. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not part of America.
I'm visiting here.
You get where I'm at? I responded to the one in Myrna. I don't know what. I never did get a chance to clock the winds, but they had to be in excess of 30 miles an hour sustained. It was significant. We got on scene, and there was a private resident that had been out there swatting the fire and keeping it down. Ben Franklin, the battalion chief out there, got there first, and I pulled in maybe a minute or two behind him, and they had it knocked down. There wasn't any active flame. I mean, despite how bad it was blowing, they had it caught, and it was, you know, a tenth of an acre fire right along the bar ditch. And what ended up happening was the wind was whipping the power line strong enough that it blew them into to the trees right there along the roadside and ignited the tree and sparked it enough to drop on the ground. And it was just, you know, receptive fuel. Nothing's greened up yet. It got to running. But thankfully, the wind was blowing the same direction. It just blew it straight into the highway, so it didn't have anywhere to go. But while we're fighting that, we're putting the ground fire out, and the tree's still smoldering a little bit. So we got the chainsaw out and took it down. And while we're dealing with the tree, the embers lofted on the other side of the road, so we were off to the races again.
You had to go again.
But thankfully, we had firefighters right there right away, and just another 10th-acre fire. That could have been a lot worse than it was. So I was thinking about how we were going to evacuate that entire area. And
yeah.
It was not going to be a pretty sight.
And then a nice little snow last night.
Yeah. Well, then we had a second fire on Cottonwood. So in the midst of fighting the one on 354, we had a second fire in Cottonwood that John Ball went to. And because I was sending resources to the first fire, I was able to divert them and go over to the second fire on Cottonwood. And that one was some fence poles that were over there burning, and they were able to catch that one. And thankfully, it was cleared around the area and didn't have a chance to get any receptive fuel. So wow. I was able to catch that one as well. But boy,
exciting.
It was exciting for a couple hours.
Break of the day. Yeah. All right, we'll continue on with your report, Sheriff. Not Sheriff. You want to be the Sheriff?
No, sir.
Sheriff, go ahead.
All right, so briefly, I'll give you the monthly fire warnings reports. We're still working with Todd Hurd to do the exterior siding. To my understanding, the colors and everything's been selected, and we're ready to move forward with that. So hopefully we get that going this summer. Part of the exterior siding as well is we're going to replace the garage doors there on the fire station. We've been putting Band-Aids on them for the last several years, and it's time to give those things a facelift, and we'll do it all at the same time. So everything's progressing well there. One thing that doesn't say that's on that list as well is we budgeted for doing an exterior siding on the Bondurant Fire Station this summer as well. So I've been in contact with Ben Davis, and he's getting that put on his agenda as well. He was going to get to it last summer. He just ran out of time, and then pretty quick the weather closes in. So
is it just a paint job?
Yeah, just a stain. Just trying to keep the siding from getting any further deteriorated than it already has been.
Okay.
Emergency incidents, kind of slow time of year, just 14 incidents last month. Just about now when spring burning, that's when we start really getting picked up. And as I've been indicated, that's what we expect more of. I expect that to start getting busy here in the next couple of months. No fire investigations last month. That's a good thing. Fire prevention, we went to the high school career day, and I was able to meet with several students there trying to do some recruitment and retention, and got a lot of involvement from the kids there. I had good reports back. Fire West program, just working with the Forest Collaborative on that. We've got a meeting scheduled, April 19th, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I think it's what it is, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then a public meeting up in Bondurant to support the Forest Collaborative's effort to do the fuel reduction project along the Monument Ridge project. So that's what our Fire West program director's been working on. I guess in an unrelated issue, somewhat related, is we've got a fuels working group of land management agencies that have fuels specialist people that we've been meeting on a pretty regular basis, and we're trying to put together a long-term plan for Sublette County for some of the hazardous fuels in the county, and prioritize some of those hazardous fuels. And that program's actually been going very well. We are currently trying to schedule a meeting sometime in May for the collaborative, and the fuels group would like to present the recommendations of the fuel group at that meeting. So we're putting together a pretty good plan on that. I'm looking forward to the results of that. Smoke detector program, still going strong. As a matter of fact, the program's continuing to excel. I'd asked our fire prevention coordinator the other day. I said, does it seem like it's plateauing off, or how's the demand? And he says, no, I don't think it's increasing, but it's really not decreasing yet. So I think that's a good thing. I'm plenty pleased. As a matter of fact, this morning I was just following up on a carbon monoxide incident for a homeowner that their roommate they were warming up their vehicle in the garage, and the carbon monoxide went in. And because we recently installed a CO alarm for them, it went off, and everything did exactly what it was supposed to do and warned the residents. So I was pleased with that. Training's going very, very strong. Our Recruit Academy just finished doing their first aid, CPR, and AED training. We've got 12 firefighters that just finished the red card training. That means they're capable and qualified and trained for fighting wildland fires, not only in Sublette County, but also on federal jurisdiction as well. We all meet the same national standard as a result of that red card training. Training facility usage, just continuing to chug along with that. It's actually going pretty well down there. The gas transition, I've been waiting to compare the price of propane versus the price of natural gas. I haven't got anything prepared for you yet, but just as soon as we got some good historical data to look at there, I'd be happy to present that. But everything seems to be working great on the new natural gas system, and I'm real pleased with that. Everybody did a good job, and it was good work on everybody's part. Health and safety, we're just finishing up all the firefighter physicals and stress tests. That was, we had 85 out of 100 firefighters. Really, the only firefighters that didn't participate were a couple of firefighters that are on leave of absence, or a couple of firefighters that have selected to not be arduous. So as a result, we don't want to spend the money on doing the physical for them if they know they're not going to perform at that level. So really, we got 100% participation of the firefighters that could be involved. I was real pleased with that. Cooperative service meetings, as you know, I've been working very, very hard on the Harris radio system. So I've been doing a lot of meetings with all the supporting agencies and partnering agencies that are involved with that, and trying to get the towers and everything that go along with that put in place. So one thing I'll add to that, every year we get together and sign the annual operating plan. That's the basically, it's a statewide agreement that anytime we have a wildland fire in the state, other county fire wardens can send me their resources, and vice versa, I can send resources to them, and then we fall into the national operating plan, which allows us to send our resources out of state and out of county, or out of county and out of state, and participate in the national level. This is the annual agreement that we sign that allows us to do that. There's been a minor change. Really, what happened is previously there was I'd call it district annual operating plans that were kind of boiled down, and a good example would be that in our area we recognize 24 hours of mutual aid support, so we don't charge them for the first 24 hours, and vice versa, they don't charge us for the first 24 hours. On the eastern side of the state, they only recognize 8 hours. And so it's been somewhat problematic for the state to manage that, and they've asked all the district Wyoming forestry foresters to kind of say, let's make a statewide agreement and all come to the same you know, common operating picture. So they've done that. The verbiage didn't change, though. They ended up going with just a standardized template, but everything that's in here really is the exact same content. There's a couple of minor differences, nothing that's worth bringing up, but really that's the only difference now, is it's a statewide agreement instead of a district agreement.
And what did they decide on the hours statewide then?
So they went with a 24-hour. Let me rephrase that. There's still the ability to include, you know, Sublette County specifically wants to do this in our area, but it's, instead of being a district only operating plan, it's just a paragraph that says Sublette County wants to do that. And so those areas in the eastern part of the state that want to do the 8-hour plan, they still have that ability. It's just an additional paragraph that's only relevant in their part of the state where they want to operate. So the standard template says 24 hours, and then if there's anything different than that, then they adjust that for that, okay, that one paragraph for that one area.
Okay.
And that makes sense for them, and it's a good way to do it.
Good. We'll need a motion to accept the mutual aid agreement again.
So moved.
Second. Secondly, do a test.
Can I use that for the motion?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Right here. Has been moved and seconded that we enter into the mutual aid agreement, reestablish the mutual aid agreement for this year as presented.
Annual operating plan.
And cooperating plan.
Annual operating plan.
Okay, that's what it is. All right, it's been moved that we accept the annual cooperating plan as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. That's why I just signed and let her fill in
the rest. All right. Now that concludes my fire warnings report. Is there any questions for me?
No.
I have one. In the siding conversation, we kept discussing the dormers over the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of this bid? I worry about having the siding done and then adding the dormers. That never goes well when you piecemeal something. Sorry.
No, it's a great question. I've raised that issue on several occasions to Todd Hurd. I don't know that I've got a definitive answer to that.
I don't know the answer either.
Okay, I can't answer your question, but I will follow up.
Thank you. It seems like those two should go.
Oh, absolutely.
Together.
I agree 100%. It needs to happen at the same time, and I agree. And we've definitely raised the issue, but I don't know that I've got a concrete answer to that question.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
While Shad and Casey are here, I guess it could have been old business, but I wanted to bring up, we met, Tom was there, Mary was there, Dave Lankford came as former sheriff. We had a pretty in-depth sit-down meeting with Tony Young from the governor's office to talk about why we're doing what we're doing with the Harris proposal. And I just wanted to mention that Shad did an exceptional job of pointing out, he had a PowerPoint presentation. He did an exceptional job of explaining why we're doing what we're doing, and I think really clarifies some things that'll get back to the governor on why we made the decisions we did. And I think one of the takeaways from that was we had some discussion about increasing the tower height on White Pine, and based on prior conversations with the Forest Service, it seemed like maybe we shouldn't go there, but Shad is going to get the information to Tony on the people that were actually engaged in that discussion the first time, because Tony seemed to think that positions and people have changed, and it might be a different ball game. And based on Tony's recommendation, I offered to talk to if it looks like things have changed and it's worth having a rediscussion of that. I'd approach Rob and Tricia O'Connor and say the game may have changed now. Let's make another run at that. And that, I guess, pretty much summarizes that meeting.
Have you heard
maybe
anything?
Maybe Shad has something to add to it. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything further, but that was an excellent summary.
Haven't heard anything back from Tony or the governor.
No, not yet.
Okay. Excellent. Perfect. Appreciate you heading that up. And Shad, thanks for all your hard work on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further, gentlemen? Shad, anything else?
Just the radio stuff.
Yep. So we're going to talk with Bill now. Come on up. Yeah, make yourself comfy. Doesn't matter.
Thank you, gentlemen, for giving me the opportunity. So I guess my thing is I've been talking with Shad and Casey for a little bit, and they kind of explained how the system's going to work with the towers. I guess we have existing towers and the new tiered repeaters system. Okay. So my question would be to you guys, would be once these repeaters are put in, and I think I understand the system a little bit, once they're put in and they're getting programmed, as far as the EMS version of it, are my frequencies going to be put in or included in this, in your original plan, or am I going to have to hire or have Dave or somebody put frequencies in these when these towers and repeaters are put in? Was I included as far as EMS wise in that plan?
Dave?
You will be included. We have yet to design the code plugs. There's going to be a period in the process where we will collectively all sit down, and the question will be asked to the law enforcement, what do you want? To fire, what do you want? To you, what do you want? And to any other agency that's going to participate in the system. And that's not a fixed process. That can be readdressed later and more can be added. The the big question for you will be your hardware. Some of the newer radios are multi-network capable. Just like a cell phone that would be able to talk to Verizon and Unity. Essentially, the trunk radio systems operate like a cell phone network. So WildLink is essentially a different network than the SCIN system. So with a radio that can do both, that's a non-issue. You can program a channel on one network right next to a channel on another network, and the user doesn't know which network he's on. He just turns the channel and talks. If you've got older radios, which I'm guessing some of yours probably are, they're usually a single network. So you'll have to just look at your radios and see. But as far as you being included, EMS being included on the system, that's a simple matter of programming talk groups for your use, not unlike what you have now for Med White Pine or Med Hog's Back or Med Kismet or any of that.
Okay, so my frequencies would be put in with all the repeaters with the share.
Yeah, and from a nomenclature standpoint, nobody has frequencies. They have channels, but
a code plug.
In the modern world, we call a channel a talk group. The frequencies are shared. Sublocators are going to have a whole bunch of frequencies that the county owns, and those frequencies will be used in the system by the system at the system's preference and choice, and it's a dynamic thing. So, like you used to have an EMS frequency, you do now, and you have a SO frequency. That architecture goes away. The good news is, at this point, we're not going to use any of your existing frequencies, so you will maintain your current operating platform and plan and setup just like you're doing now until we turn the new system on, and then at that point we'll start reprogramming radios. So that's the plan as we know it now, and that could change, but that's what we're going into it with.
Okay. Excuse me. So thank you for including us in getting them cold plugs in, and that's great. Thank you. So another question was just kind of looking through my system and what I have now. When Shad did the grant and he got all the BK radios, we did get four of them. So them are capable of falling into the system. Just the programming is all I would worry about on that. The rest of the system is, I'm looking at four mobile radios, two ambulances and two quick response vehicles, and two base stations that are outdated that would have to be replaced. I guess my question would be kind of to you guys, would you be interested in letting me get on with Shad or Casey, and when you go to order this, could I order with them, or do I you want me to stay separate and basically do my own bill and my own programming, my own, and make. Because I did give Josh Billis email, and I asked him for a quote on what I would need. The four mobiles, two base stations, and then all the programming for all my radios.
Well, it would make sense that you order in with Shad and the sheriff's office, and then you just reimburse the county back for the cost of those. It would make perfect sense that you get the best price that way, right? Am I correct, Chad?
Yeah,
it
would be about a 40% discount.
Yeah, we've got a heck of a discount here, so
right.
You could be part of that discount, and then you would just reimburse the county back for the cost of yours.
That's, I don't want to speak for Harris on the 40%. I mean, I don't know what their quote is, but work with them and figure out what that is.
Okay.
It would be a significant discount, yes.
And then programming, same thing as with the program when they're down here. Is that all right if I put my equipment in with his schedule?
There's no other way to do it.
Has to be done that way.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, I'm saying because I put an email out to Josh, and they're getting me a quote to come and just do mine.
Right.
Oh, okay. So I was wondering long as they're here, could I be included in
that,
with the fire?
That would be the case.
Yeah, it would make
perfect
sense.
We have to do
sense.
It that way. Whenever they come and put your subscriber units in, your mobiles and your portables, mm-hmm. We will already, at that point, either have or be getting ready to have your specific talk groups, and there will be a sub-county master plan, code plug plan, essentially, which is all the talk groups of all the different agencies. and that profile will be put into your radio, all of your radios. That's really the only way you can do it. Kind of like what we do with WildLink. You know, we take your radio personality and we send it, and somebody does magic with it, and they send it back, and then they put it in. But we would do that all at once.
Okay.
To get you on the new system.
Okay, and then on their reimbursement for the programming, as long as they're here, I don't know what they would charge me. If it'd be different, would that be something I could be included in, or do I have to reimburse for that too?
Usually the programming is included when you purchase suites of radios like that. You know, you're going to write them a pretty good sized check for the hardware, and usually programming comes with it. If they're coming to install them, if that's what you had your quote, did you have a quote for the installs?
Yeah, I have four mobiles and two bases that have to be installed.
When they do an install, they will do the programming then, or, because depending on the schedule of the build-out, Harris is obligated to do all of our subscriber programming. We're going to work with them. I'm going to work with them. But they're obligated contractually to do all of the subscriber programming in the county when we transition to a new system. So you're covered. I wouldn't lose any sleep over that. There should not be an additional charge in your quote for programming. It should come with it. And if there is an additional charge, tell them to delete that line item, because they've already committed to program everything in the county, and you're in the county. So.
Okay.
And then your updates and stuff going forward after the warranty period, we will just do in-house.
Okay. And then the last but not least that I have a question for you guys is, do we have any idea on what the maintenance is going to be for a yearly maintenance on this program?
Yeah, so we've got a maintenance deal that comes with the special price, right? And we're, what was that again, Chad?
$45,000 a year.
Yeah. Which is substantially less than.
And are you
because we decided to go for 10 years, right?
15 years.
15 years.
And are you looking at dividing that up, or is this going to be just all, and am I included in that, or what's going to be on that? I'm just trying to figure out my budget year and what I need to do and what I need to reserve for, so just
right.
if I need to.
Go ahead, Mary.
Can I speak to that?
Yes.
I think the commissioners have committed to putting all emergency services on the system. So you're an emergency service, part of the system. The county will pay for it, pay for the maintenance. Your equipment, you know, needs to be able to work with the system. And you need to use our tech person for your radio support, because we are contracted with Dave to support our whole system. But I think that's the only requirement, Mr. Chairman. I don't see us billing out everybody for a little piece of maintenance.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I don't even know how we would do that.
Right. I think as long as you're covering your cost on the sale price of the two bases and the
four mobiles,
I think we're in business.
Okay. That's all I have for you guys. If any questions?
Yeah, no questions. As the county clerk mentioned, that this is for emergency services for the whole county. So
okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Commissioner. So does Bill need to get with our tech support and work something out, or is that already taken care of?
Our tech support.
Dave.
With Dave, yeah. You'll need to have an agreement with him.
Which will be an annual budget thing.
I see what you're asking.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Because we want the same tech support for all the equipment that's under this system.
He has to do the maintenance.
Right. And that's I didn't talk to him yet, but there was two choices. Either I contracted with them or I paid him by the hour, and I probably would pay him by the hour too, but I would still use him only.
Mm-hmm. I think that's required by us.
Yeah, that's
in your case, Bill Hourly is probably going to be your best way to go, because if they do a good job on your installs, your maintenance cost of your subscriber equipment, especially for the first year or two, should be pretty low.
Yeah.
So I would think the most cost-effective way for you would be Hourly.
Okay.
And then if there's like code plug changes and stuff, that's not going to cost you anything. so we're just going to go do those.
Okay. What is your timeline on this? You said that, I do believe, talking with Shad and Casey here, that it was starting install in August, and maybe try it in October and go live January 1?
It's a rough timeline, as the final transition is intended to cut over to the new system on January 1 of 19. There's a question if the infrastructure is going to be installed, the towers are going to be ready, and when exactly that's going to occur, but roughly speaking, it'll be next fall, and we'll be able to start testing our radios and making sure it's going to function on the new system at that time.
Okay, and the plan still is to keep the conventional system around?
So we're still trying to identify the availability of space on the towers, and if there's not enough vertical space on the towers, that'll be one of the things that we're going to have to take off the towers, is some of the conventional stuff. So really, we can't answer that question until we start installing stuff on the towers and see what space is available. But you know, if we do have to give something up, that'll be what we give up. So
I don't see that happening. I see our conventional staying until we transition. The only tower where vertical space is a real issue is going to be White Pine, mm-hmm. and White Pine is entirely different animal because of a combined wiring system. So if there are hogs back, there's vertical space we can share. We may have to lower our conventional antennas down, so you may see slightly reduced coverage, but not much.
The intent is to keep the conventional radios.
That's
no guarantees until we cross over it.
Kind of a backup plan for this. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I have nothing else unless you got some questions for me.
Thank you,
Bill.
Don't think so. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
All right. Shad, anything else?
Just an update on the Harris system. We've been communicating with Harris to ask for monthly updates. Late last night, I did get an update from them. They asked me to say that Harris has launched the Sublette County project. They've initiated their internal processes and the hands-off implementation team. I'm not sure exactly what hands-off means, but that's what they said in their email. I think it means hands-on. The proposal team has updated the Falcon file. They explained it to me. The Falcon file is essentially, it's a list of every single nut and bolt in the system. Everything has a part number. That Falcon file has been created. They know exactly how they're going to bill it out and where it's going to go. I would imagine very significant. Yes, sir. So they've created the Falcon file, the equipment and material list, and an as-sold budget. The financial analysis has been assigned to the budget, and everything's been formally set up. Project numbers have been assigned. The system engineer has been requested and assigned. The implementation team has held a meeting with their radio frequency team and Bob Isby to strategize the licensing of the VHF frequencies, and then the proposal team has set up the formal turnover gate for implementation later this week. Basically, the way I read that paragraph is they've got a lot of internal behind-the-scenes stuff that they're doing at the corporate level. They've given us a couple of forecasted dates. They've asked for a kickoff meeting on 5-1. That'll be where they sit down and give us a broad overview. That'll be when we need to sit down with all the emergency response agencies and say, here, we all agree this is the broad picture we're looking for. There'll be a final customer design meeting on 7-10. The intent of that one is we're going to spend about 3 days looking at every nut and bolt in that Falcon file I was describing earlier. That's essentially our last opportunity to make any changes, and once the customer design review meeting has been completed, they actually build everything in Virginia and make sure that it's going to work, and then they test it over there, and then they ship it out here. So the customer design meeting is kind of the last chance to make any changes, any major changes. They've said that their VHF frequency analysis is still to be determined. Higher in their email, they said that they're working on shipping the frequency and analyzer to Dave, but they don't have a date as of yet. And then finally, they say that their FCC frequency applications is scheduled for a submittal on 5/29, so at the end of May.
And then we'll know when.
Exactly.
It's just who knows, right?
Yeah. It's according to all the indications they gave us before, they've shown a list of the available frequencies. It's just a matter of applying for them and seeing what FCC issues.
See if they let us have them.
Okay. So that's the only update I have on the new system.
Okay. Any further questions, gentlemen? For Shad?
No.
Okay.
Thanks, Shad.
keep up the good work. Yeah. Boy, you've started eating that elephant. Good job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anything further?
We're
going to
sign Dave's contract.
Yeah, you need me for that?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. Thank you very much, Chad.
Why don't we take care of your business, Mary?
And then we're after.
Thank you, guys.
Say, see you guys.
Thanks, Casey.
Well, so thanks, Chad.
So, Mr. Chairman, just as kind of a follow-up on the Harris and the radio communication system, we have a contract with Dave's Electronics to be our technical support part. And let me explain a little bit about this contract. Dave has been contracted with law enforcement and fire to provide service and maintenance for the radios that they currently have. Mm-hmm. So we have extended that contract for a year, and it's the same as what it has been in the past. Then in addition, in this contract, we have another piece that is the build out of what we need for the new system. So we've got two things going on here in one contract. There were two proposals. The proposals are attached. And the build-out proposal, there's the build-out proposal, and then there is the service and repair proposal. So we're contracting.
In the same contract?
In the same contract, okay. Yeah.
Very good.
So,
Dave, are you sure you want us to sign these? I mean, once we got this signed, you didn't know backing out, buddy.
That's okay. I appreciate you guys' business. You've been a good client in 10 years and came a long way. So.
No doubt. So I'll need two separate motions then. No?
Can one, because we have one contract.
Okay. All right. So we're not renewing the first one and then adding that one. We're putting it all into
one. It's all in one contract.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Good work. We accept the new contract with Dave Electronics.
Has Matt looked through this?
Matt made the contract.
Matt wrote the new contract.
Yeah, okay. Matt wrote the new contract.
It used to be a handshake on bar napkin.
Yeah.
Now it's a formal.
It's now it's a real deal.
We've been burned on those.
Matt made the contract. Dave has reviewed the contract. Shad and Casey have negotiated the numbers. So we got it all.
So they're good with it.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Has been moved and seconded that we enter into a contract with Dave's Electronics as presented. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave. It's all over but the crying now. You can't back out.
Here? Sure.
Okay. I've got
the official government matching pen.
That's right.
Oh, yes. You can't sign unless you have one of those.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, back in business.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
See you later.
See you later, Dave.
Thank you.
Now, no more stalling.
The stalling ain't been on our part. I'm a little concerned about the frequency submittal date. You guys will remember, we really beat them up about that during the contracting process, and we were hoping that they would have submitted those right at the signing time.
Right.
The FCC, I've seen those licenses take anywhere from 3 days to 3 months. And if the FCC is delayed, then they have to go back and find some new frequencies and reapply. We could very well end up in a situation where we don't know all the frequencies, and specific frequencies determine the binary design. So, there's a lot of ifs right now. Anyway, thank you guys.
All right. Thanks for the good news.
Yeah.
Nice day.
Yeah. Okay. Then I just have some housekeeping things.
Okey-dokey.
We have a request from the Office of Homeland Security, who provides us with $30,000 each year to support our emergency management coordinator's position. And they are in the they being Homeland Security and Federal Emergency Management are in the process of updating their award period and extending it. They're putting it on the our fiscal year instead of the federal fiscal year.
Okay.
So the federal fiscal year ends the end of September.
Right.
Instead, this will end at the end of June, and it'll all coordinate together instead of us balancing that whole act. So what this is this is just the amendment that represents that modification, and for the and th- it's already we're already approved and awarded for this period of time that runs actually from October 1 of 2016 through March 30, 2018. But they're extending the March 31, 2018 to June 30, 2018.
Okay.
Okay.
So we need to adopt this by motion.
Yeah.
It is grant agreement approved. Grant award agreement approved award period amendment. I'll let you read that,
Mr. Chairman. I move we approve the change in the grant award agreement dash approved award period amendment, which amends the fiscal year to match with ours.
Second.
Perfect. That has been moved and seconded that we approve the grant award agreement approved award period amendment as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, then this is from the Bureau of Land Management, and this is for the groundwater monitoring wells that are at the old Pinedale landfill site up here. This is the right-of-way for that landfill site and those monitoring wells. So we have a right-of-way that's 20 foot wide to get to our wells across the BLM. And this is a renewal of that. So these are, I don't know what the duration is of this thing.
Is there any way to get that one to be a perpetual
easement? It is perpetual.
It is?
Yes. This instrument shall terminate in perpetuity. Perpetuity.
Converted
to a perpetual. Yep.
Excellent.
So, there we go.
Beautiful.
About time.
Need a motion to accept that one.
So moved, Major Chairman.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the perpetual easement for the groundwater monitoring project at the old Pinedale dump with the BLM as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Then, if you'll recall, we had in March, you accepted a proposal from Aerographics to do the ortho aerial photography this summer. So I have the contract signed by Kelly Francis from Aerographics. I just need to have you sign it.
Yeah, we've already.
You've already accepted already and all that. It, yeah, so. I just need your signature.
Okay. Mr. Andrew G. Nelson. They don't know me very well, do they?
Yeah. That's Matt. Matt makes these.
Oh, Mr. Matt. You'd think he'd know better.
Yeah. Okay, then I have one abatement.
Duty.
It's little. As compared to the ones that we've seen.
Yeah, not bad at all.
It's not $400,000.
Not a half a million.
Yeah. And then I have some resolutions for you to sign. These resolutions are actions that you've already taken. One of them is for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which was declared at the last meeting. So I need, and you've adopted all of these, so there's no action to take except for sign.
Okay.
So there's that. The second two resolutions I have are planning and zoning related, If you recall, we amended the zoning regulations at the last meeting, and then we also did a zone change for Sandra LLC. So, just sign. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have, with just one thing to let you know.
Okay.
I and the clerk from Teton County are headed to Cheyenne for Management Council on Thursday to hear what the interim studies are, because we have a couple that are of interest to county clerks. So if there's anything that you'd be excited about. And then on Friday, the task force on election equipment is meeting with the Secretary of State's office. So.
You got any idea yet what you're going to need? You've already ordered.
I've already ordered what I'm going to buy. Yeah. I don't know exactly how this is all going to play, because we ended up with $1 million over 2 years committed by the state to election equipment.
Oh, okay.
And then the federal money that came through the omnibus appropriations bill, there was $380 million that was appropriated for the states to provide security and update equipment, and there's some other issues there that were included. So I don't know. I know that out of that, that the state of Wyoming will receive over $3 million.
So there's a chance we might get some of this covered? Or?
There's going to have to be some allowance to provide for those that have purchased already,
okay.
To yeah. upgrade or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know exactly how that's going to play, because we, it could be in our maintenance. It could be, you know, some sort of a statewide maintenance contract for our equipment. I don't know. I don't believe between all of that money, which would be about close to 4.5, because we have to provide a 5% match for the federal money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's, you know, that's not going to be enough money to equip the state of Wyoming, because we were thinking more like about $7 or $8 million,
okay.
To take care of everybody. But I also know that when we bought our equipment back in 05, it was $250,000, and now it's $100,000. So who knows how it's all going to play.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to keep fighting that fight, see if we can get some more funding.
Cool.
To get the state equipped and get us secure.
Don't weaken.
So. No.
Thanks, Mary. All right, gentlemen, let's pay some bills and we'll talk a little business.
Well, I have lost my notes. I think I can remember. The first thing I would like to say is hats off to Jay and his team at the fairgrounds. They did a fantastic job. There were a few bumps in the road. They got them solved, and it just worked out very well with, of course, the sheriff's help and everything.
Yeah.
So it was a great event. There wasn't a hiccup involved at all.
Yeah.
On Wednesday was a busy day. First thing was the teleconference with NACO. The second thing was meeting with the BLM over the pipeline for Binbury.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next meeting was I attended the Rural Healthcare Board meeting at the Sublette Center.
Yep.
And then on Thursday, another BLM meeting for the Boulder Travel Management Plan. So it was pretty much meetings all week long.
It was, yeah.
So that's pretty much all I did, was attend those meetings.
Thank you, Commissioner Rawhauser. Commissioner Noble?
I think the one I'll talk about mostly is the CTC meeting with the providers in Big Bunny. We met with All West, and we met with Union, and also Silver Star. There's many more to come up. It was just a baseline to help CTC get the RFI out, give them some information.
Okay.
So we were there all day. It was a good meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that covers that for the most part. Right. The RFI comes, there's a conference call on the 19th. They're supposed to discuss the RFI, and it'll be presented shortly after that to go out to the providers. And then they'll get some information back. We'll see if this is feasible.
Okay.
To move forward with.
Okay. Excellent.
The other meetings were the Rural Health Care Board meeting, and I'm in, like, as Joel mentioned earlier, with Tony and the governor stuff. Other than that, that's it.
Great. Commissioner Burnett?
I had several conference calls in the past 2 weeks. On April 10th, we had a conference call with the WCCA and then the Committee on Health and Safety, along with other county commissioners with regards to preventative services. We then had a conference call yesterday with the same commissioners and the Department of Health, trying to hash out which direction and some of the details moving forward with the preventative services contract at the expiration of PMO's contract with the state on June 30th. And then finally, I was on the conference call last Wednesday with Lorraine Werner and the group that met at the Sublette Center. She had furnished me a call-in number, and I was able to call in and, like everyone else, listen to that conference.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Commissioner Bowser.
I guess the only thing in addition on the open house that Mac and I attended on the Riley Richardson Natrona project, the Denbury approached me at that open house and said they will be providing some additional information that compares the two southern routes. There's three routes, the north one, the middle one, and the south one. And they're concerned that that furthest south route, the number they gave to me was it increases their cost by $20 million.
Yeah. Wow.
Really? And they wanted to provide me this information, and I did give Caleb. I talked to Caleb the next day and gave him a heads up that, you know, he may be hearing from the county as a cooperating agency, right, that may be asking him to take another look at that in-between route. Yeah. And there's issues on both sides of it.
Right.
But for now, that's...
And from what I understand from Nolan's letter, that the preferred route for Denbury isn't even on the table anymore. Is that right?
Their original preferred route, I don't think it is.
But... these other ones are going to be lesser of the evil.
Probably.
Is that right?
Yeah. And Denbury, you know, it's going to be one of those two routes, either the preferred route or the one in between. And there's other, as Caleb explains, there's other issues with that one in between, that, like a veiled threat to sue BLM and come up with similar to the Dakota Access Pipeline, all the mess they have there.
Yeah.
But if they choose that route, they better look out.
They're going to be threatened. In for a lawsuit.
So, yeah. And I don't know. That's about all I know about that, is it? So we'll just have to see what happens.
All right.
Fair enough. I've been involved in representing Wyoming County Commissioners Association in this discussion with Department of Interior reorganization, also representing WIR in that same discussion. We do have, it looks like, Interior people, like directly under the Secretary, will be coming to Cheyenne to meet with what we call the Wyoming Natural Resource Coalition, of which WCCA is a part of that, to talk more about the reorganization, and that'll be coming up in May. And right now, we had another call yesterday And some people have been talking to interior people between then and the first call we had. And it looks like they want to use Wyoming as, and the Wyoming region as a pilot project to try and put this together in a way that will meet the objectives that they want to meet. And of course, we're very amenable to doing that, that if you're going to do it, well, let us in on the game so we can try and make it work in a way that it's a win-win for everybody. So that's all I have to report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Well, various and sundry different meetings and phone calls with constituents. I'll not bore you with the details. That's it.
One thing I'd like to add is that the meeting I did go with the Denbury, they had a visual program, a video of how they were going to drill under the Green River. Very impressive.
Under what?
Under the Green.
Oh, under the Green.
They take the pipeline under the Green.
Oh, yeah. And interesting.
I've not been involved in things like that, so I was very intrigued.
That is interesting. Did they say how far under the Green it was?
No, it didn't. And the thing about it was is they drill a hole that's 6 inches, and then the minute that they come out, the bit turns around and comes back, and it's 16 inches. So that's the size of the pipe. So it was,
that
it was
kind interesting.
Of, evidently, they've done it before.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Well, that's about it. We're going to finish paying bills, and looks like we'll have a little early lunch. Had a schedule today.
I did when everybody's talking. I appreciate you paying attention.
Of course I do. Two important things.
Two important things, absolutely. Okay.
That meditation is working for you.
Reached total consciousness with the Dalai Lama.
Are you going to get an early branding put together for the heifers, Joel? Do you know?
Still working on it.
Yeah.
We branded about 20 head yesterday in that horrible wheel for the heifers we have were calving for Charlie.
Oh, right. How many of those do you have?
Geez, we have about a total of about 80.
And they're here playing?
Yeah.
Are they? Okay.
Who does your cotton, Joel?
Cotton.
Cotton does.
And we already took two trailer loads home that back to him that had calved, but not branded. Oh, but now that he's branded over there, we've got a chance to send... We got
send
a truck. Corey Roberts is going over there Friday to bring Brad's calves home for the feedlot.
Yeah.
So Charlie said, "Man, if you can get those branded, just put them on that empty truck and it'll save us two trailer trips."
Yeah, no doubt.
So we got them done yesterday in that wind. Got them all in the pen right there next to the barn, you know. Kind
had
of
a little
of
bit
wind.
Of a wind break.
But still had a hell of a time keeping that fire on the wind. It's
terrible. Jay. Boy, and the more it dries out, that wind is just
going to... Oh, man, it sure dried things out in a hurry.
Geez, Brandon, but not...
Yeah, that's what you ever got.
I was glad to see a little squirt.
Well, yeah, he does want
it. Yeah, well, he did create all dampen things down a little bit.
Yeah, he had to
do that.
Rather ward off rain.
That was my...
Yeah.
Initiation.
No kidding.
The world.
The river.
That's like 1 year I was talking with.
I went down to Wardell's a few times.
Mac McCormick. It was one summer we were
back in the
day. Yeah, some real need of some rain.
So, yeah, we got a nice little drizzle last night.
Yes.
He said it would sure be nice if it just keep doing that for about a week.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, and then rain.
Yeah, and then rain.
First spring I was here, I got that in, Mike.
How's Jim doing over there?
He's out of it.
Well, he's in the middle of farming now.
Is he?
Well, he died.
Of course, he's still got, he's got rid of some of that feedlot stuff. It's starting to leave.
Starting
by the
thin out
first
of
week in May.
Bottles
cleaned out. Ours will probably be the last ones to leave.
Right.
Bill fell by the wayside.
What do you got over there?
We got all our calves over there.
What else?
The steers and the heifers.
Gotcha.
We'll bring the heifers home first because we got to vaccinate
them. You can use my talents out for vaccinating.
And then the steers, we'll wait till we can get out on stud horse. We just done
25 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Vaccinate
out of the truck.
Gotcha.
They're pretty particular on the cutting around our.
I imagine.
Who gets to it, who doesn't.
I imagine.
Yeah, I guess you just down.
I guess I do. Saving the ink, I'm running out.
Yeah, me too. I get through about a third of these, and this gets so dim I can't hardly even see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Well, what they don't, what they do is they send us back the computer card.
I can imagine.
So you'll be able to vote in our office for 40 days ahead of the election.
I think towards the end, just kind of figure it out.
You need to vote for him.
Yeah.